So there's two ways to approach this question. One is more clinical and nitpicky in terms of guidelines, more relevant to 2CK. The other is just a broader, big picture assessment, which can help us arrive at our answer, not even looking at the values that we have in the vignette. So the first point, this guy has systemic hypertension that's going to cause a backup of afterload on the left ventricle, which in turn will back up to the left atrium. Left atrial pressure equals pulmonary capillary wedge pressure. So if we have increased left atrial pressure, it'll back up to the pulmonary circulation. That means increased hydrostatic pressure in the pulmonary vasculature. That's our answer here, increased hydrostatic pressure, and lead to a transudative pleural effusion. Transudative meaning relatively devoid of proteins and cells and lower LDH compared to an exudative process. We also expect glucose to be relatively close to serum glucose when we're talking about the pleural fluid assessment. So that's more of just the big picture qualitative process, saying we have a guy with systemic hypertension, he's got shortness of breath, sounds like left heart failure, being aware that left heart failure can cause pulmonary signs, pleural edema, and also pleural effusions. But then we can get a little bit more nitpicky and clinical with guidelines, which is important for 2CK. So you need to be aware that when we talk about a transudative pleural effusion versus exudative, once again, transudative is in the setting of increased hydrostatic pressure, such as heart failure here. It can also be in the setting of decreased oncotic pressure, such as if we had nephrotic syndrome with renal failure, or if we had a hepatic failure where the liver is not secreting albumin or adequate albumin. So if we have a transudative process, we're going to expect, once again, the glucose of the pleural fluid is relatively close to the serum glucose. If we had a pleural fluid protein of 20 milligrams per deciliter, whereas the serum is 105, you're like, oh wow, like that's definitely a lot lower than serum glucose. So that could be reflective of an exudative process rather than transudative, particularly in the setting of infection. Okay, there's many causes of exudative pleural effusions. We could have a malignancy causing inflammation, a pulmonary embolism causing inflammation, but when we have infection, which is called a paraneumonic effusion, where you have a pleural effusion secondary to a pneumonia, we expect bacteria in the pleural fluid consuming the glucose, which would bring the glucose level down. So your take-home point regarding glucose is if the numbers are pretty close, there's no one specific ratio you need to know, but if the pleural fluid glucose approximates serum glucose, then that's suggestive of transudative process. If the pleural fluid glucose is a lot lower than serum glucose, that reflects an exudative process with infection. Now, nitpicky once again, but you need to know this for 2CK, which is that if the pleural fluid protein ratio compared to the serum, okay, is less than one half, then that is reflective of transudative process. Okay, so we see here that protein is 2 in the pleural fluid and it's 6.5 in the serum. That is definitely, that ratio is under one half. So that is reflective of a transudative process. And then when we look at the LDH ratio of the pleural fluid compared to serum, if that is under 0.6, okay, then that is reflective of a transudative process. Here, you can see that the ratio is one half. That is reflective of a transudative process. So I'll just summarize those couple points, which is once again, if the glucose approximates, the pleural fluid and serum glucose approximate each other, transudative. If the protein ratio is less than 0.5, transudative. If the LDH ratio is less than 0.6, transudative. It can be hard to remember which one is which for protein versus LDH. You're like, which one's 0.5 versus 0.6? I keep forgetting. One thing that helps me remember is LDH is three letters, which 0.6 is the ratio, so 3 goes into 6. Okay, so you can just remember that, based on 3 being or 6 being divisible by 3, that LDH is the one that the ratio is 0.6, whereas protein is 0.5. So just looking at the answer choices here, Once again, this is increased hydrostatic pressure because we have heart failure in this patient. Increased left atrial pressure equals pulmonary capillary wedge pressure. So that's the cause of our transudative pleural effusion. If we look at choice E, increased vascular permeability, that's the answer for an exudative process, where we have increased spacing between the vascular endothelial cells. That would be for pulmonary embolism. It could be for malignancy. It could be for infection. It could be for ARDS. Okay. Increased oncotic pressure, choice D, that would never be an answer for causing a pleural effusion. That would mean you have increased pressure. That would mean you have increased protein in the vascular space, which would only function to retain fluid rather than enabling it to enter the pleural space. So choice B, decreased oncotic pressure, as we said before, that would be the answer if we had liver failure where the liver is not producing sufficient albumin, or if we had renal failure with nephrotic syndrome where the kidney's losing so much protein that we have decreased albumin in the blood and we can't hold on to that fluid, so it'll transudate into the pleural space. And then decreased lymphatic clearance, it's just a distractor. That could refer to another process entirely, which is transient tachypnea of the newborn in neonates. That's an NRDS-like picture when you have a term neonate. So you'll get a kid with shortness of breath and decreased oxygen sats, but you'll notice he's term rather than preterm. And that's just transient tachypnea of the newborn. It's when there's a C-section or a fast vaginal delivery, and there's not enough time for the pulmonary lymphatics to clear the amniotic fluid out of the alveoli. So that could be, in theory, an answer there. That's it. I just want you to take home this point broadly for step one of transudative versus exudative, and also for the 2CK, you got to be a little bit more nitpicky, unfortunately, and be aware of the ratios with protein LDH. Okay, that's it.